We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Chris is off being an intrepid NBA reporter covering the Sacramento Kings out in New York. Hey guys, in New York as I record this. So just riding solo today, going to be a quick one. If you have read this piece on Niners Wire, feel free to stick around. I'm going to go a little bit deeper on some of these prospects that I'm going to discuss. I'm doing a 49ers only 7-round mock draft. Just go through all the 49ers picks. Played with the Pro Football Focus draft machine or mock draft machine and went through and made selections for all of the 49ers choices. And we'll talk about them a little bit here on the pod. But before we do that, I want to shout out the homies over at Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. If you're thinking, man, that sounds kind of familiar, that's because they've partnered with the Minnesota Timberwolves and made a sick-ass line that's been sold in the Timberwolves team store. It is really, really dope. If you happen to be in Minnesota and you go to a game, drop in and see if they got some Lamb Chops gear because it's super fire. If you're not going to be in Minnie, though, you can go to SGLambChops.com today. Get yourself a hoodie, get yourself some sweatpants, get yourself t-shirt, shorts. It's going to be high quality. It's going to be comfortable. And most importantly, you're going to look super dope. So use promo code Candlestick20. Get 20% off your order. That's SGLambChops.com. And then follow them on Instagram at SGLambChops and join the herd today. We're also sponsored by Prize Picks. We love Prize Picks. It turns out during baseball season, your boy is awesome at Prize Picks. I'm so dialed in. I have won in the first, what's baseball season been a week? In the first week of baseball season, I've put together more winning daily fantasy entries on Prize Picks than I think I have in all of football season. Just cruising along. I'm having such a great time. You have individual player stats for so many different sports. It's not just baseball. It's not just basketball. They got college sports on there. They got hockey on there. Whatever. Golf, I think they have on there. Fighting, MMA. So if you're into that, enhance your sports watching experience with daily fantasy from Prize Picks. All you got to do, it's 2 to 6 players. You pick more or less on their stat projections. And then for me during baseball season, you're watching the winnings rolling. It's a ton of fun. I think you will enjoy it. So join me there at prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That is prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory. Kittle is gonna go. Touchdown.
Bosa's got him and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard line.
All right, 49ers only 7-round mock draft. I'm not going to be one of those lunatics that tries to do a multi-round mock draft for multiple teams. I'm doing Niners only on this one. You know, people like Matt Miller or Jordan Reed, both those guys with ESPN, but I know a bunch of people do this at Pro Football Focus or at CBS or pick your favorite outlet. They do these 7-round mocks. I don't know if they just use a mock draft machine. That's what I did for this. I'll explain the process in a second. Or if they're actually going through and poring over notes from like 260 players or so and fitting team needs and specific schemes. And it seems like a lot. And frankly, I don't have that kind of time, or because I'm neck deep in 49er stuff, I don't know enough about other teams to do that. So I'm going to stick with the team I do know, and that is the 49ers. So shout out to the Pro Football Focus Mock Draft Simulator. What I did was, on that simulator, you can choose to do however many rounds you want. So I did all 7. And then you can pick a team that you're going to choose for. So I just obviously picked the 49ers. I didn't do any trades this time. I've been in different, whether I'm doing a mock for Niners Wire or with the NFL Wire Networks, which we're putting those out once a week. So make sure to check those out at touchdownwire.com. But I've been trying to do some trades. I've been trying to move things around and see, A, what team might be willing to trade down, because our editors know kind of their team's tendencies and this and that. Spoiler alert, in our last one, I traded Brandon Ayuk just to kind of see what it looks like. I don't think he's going to get traded, by the way. I don't think he's going to get traded. I think Brandon Ayuk's going to sign. And the Niners and Ayuk will come to a long-term extension. All the reasons why we've discussed on this podcast, and we will do it again at some point during the offseason, I'm sure. But I just want to see what it looked like. But on this one, I did not do any trades. Real quick, put a pin in the mock thing for just a moment. I want to discuss the Brandon Ayuk trade stuff. Not that anything has necessarily happened, but I read a mock draft the other day at PFF, oddly enough, that said it feels like the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk are growing further apart by the day on a new deal. And I don't know where the person who wrote that got it. I think what's happening is the typical negotiation through the media, where John Lynch is going to say, yeah, we're happy to have him play on his 5th year, and Ayuk is going to tweet at Mike Tomlin, and Ayuk is going to post stuff online, and you're going to see reports, whether it's leaked by a team or an agent or somebody else in the player's camp. You're going to see, oh, they're still far apart on a deal. Like, of course they're far apart on a deal. It's April. The 49ers get these deals done typically in July, maybe early August, or in Nick Bosa's case, early September. That was nuts. I just flew under the radar throughout last year that Nick Bosa wasn't in camp until the first week of practice leading up to the start of the regular season. But no, that's when if this deal is really going to get done, that's when the negotiations will begin in earnest. If the 49ers really believe that Ayuk's going to want some number that's just so far up there that they can't negotiate it down and they just can't stomach it, then maybe. But I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case. I think there would be a lot of suitors if the 49ers were going to trade him, and I think a lot of teams would want him, and I think a lot of teams would pay him. But I am of the mind that this deal is going to, the negotiations are going to get louder, publicly at least. Until the 49ers are actually trading him, I am of the mind that they're not going to. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. I didn't make any trades in the mock draft that we're about to roll through. And again, if you've already read this at Niners Wire, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into a couple of these picks as we roll along. So round one, pick number 31. Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon, happened to fall to me, oddly enough. It's a player Chris and I just discussed whether the 49ers would trade up for him just on the last podcast when we did some early draft takes. If Powers Johnson falls to 31, which I don't think is impossible, I've seen him going in mocks, usually early to mid-20s. But with so much tackle talent available and so much wide receiver talent available, and because of how I think the top of the draft is going to go, just based, again, on prognostication from people smarter than me, it's going to go offense-heavy early. And I've seen in a lot of mocks that the first defensive player isn't going until 8. So there's going to be some good defensive player value, whether it's Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo or whether it's Byron Murphy the second from Texas or whether it's Terrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama. Like Nate Wiggins, a cornerback from Clemson. There's just going to be a lot of really good players, I think, defensive players available in the middle to late first round. And maybe that's a player the 49ers are waiting to fall. But it wouldn't shock me if you told me that Jackson Powers Johnson fell to 31, partly because I'm not totally sure what his ceiling is as a player. And I don't know what the ceiling on a center would be. I guess it would be like Jason Kelce, right? If teams knew for a fact Powers Johnson was going to be the next Jason Kelce, then he would go a lot earlier than 31st. But there's positional value at center. There is a positional value problem, I think, at center that might deter some teams from taking him before the top 20 picks or so. And I think there's just an overall, high floor type of player, and teams might be looking to swing a little bigger, especially when you look at some of the prospects in this tackle class. Amarius Mims, only 8 starts in college, but just a behemoth that can really move. So Powers Johnson falling to 31 wouldn't shock me. And that's a scenario where I don't think the Niners would trade up for him, but if he falls to 31, not only is he probably the best player available, but it's also filling a potential need, whether that's at center and you're putting Jake Brendel into the mix at right guard, or if you're putting Powers Johnson at right guard until you want to move him to center. Those are both options, I think, for the 49ers in this scenario. And really, their offensive line, and I think this is true for almost every offensive line, so I don't want to single the 49ers out, but I think on the offensive line specifically, the 49ers have enough problems that just getting a good player up front is the move. Whether he plays right guard, whether he plays center, whether he plays right tackle, not Powers Johnson playing right tackle, but whether the player they select, if they believe that player can start on their offensive line, Jake Brendel's fine, but he's not so good that you're like, man, you don't need an upgrade there. I know the Niners just paid him, but again, he's making $4 million a year across his 4-year contract. He can play guard. Or if he winds up being a reserve interior lineman, kind of like John Feliciano was before he became a starter last year, where Brendel can play left guard, right guard, center. Depth is a problem, and I think Powers Johnson would fix that if he falls to 31. Again, I don't think the Niners would trade up again because of that positional value stuff we were talking about, but he's a very good player. He's an excellent run blocker. He's got really, really good athleticism, which, you know, the Niners need at center. He's a good pass blocker. Like, he's just a really, really high quality, solid player that I think would be a steal at the number 31 pick. And just for full disclosure, I've been messing with the mock draft machine a lot, and I cannot get one of the best tackle prospects, one of the top tackle prospects, to fall to 31. I can get Amarius Mims down there, because they have all these things on the PFF mock draft simulator where, and several, there's more than this one. This is just the one I use. There are more than one mock draft simulator, but you can mess with, you know, public board versus Pro Football Focus board, or you can toggle how much teams draft for need, how much randomness there is. You can do all these different things. I have played with those toggles so much. I can't get Troy Fatanu or J.C. Latham, two tackle prospects, Fatanu from Washington and Latham from Alabama. Olufashanu from Penn State, can't get him to fall. Talisi Fuaga, can't get him to slide. I got nothing for you guys. So Powers Johnson is a perfectly fine consolation prize in the first round. If the 49ers are going to stand pat at 31 and just kind of see how the board shakes out. In the second round, we addressed the offensive tackle position for the 49ers. I'm going to butcher this player's last name, but I believe it is Kieran Amagaji, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. He's an offensive tackle from Yale, and he is a stud, 6'5", 323, 36-inch arms. He has all the physical tools to be a starting right tackle, and this is where I think if the 49ers aren't getting a tackle in the first round, that they are like, yes, slam dunk, get him in the starting lineup right away. Amagaji might be that player. He might be a quick learner and develop quickly and able to start by week one. But I think the more important thing, and this is what the 49ers didn't do last year, they need to add competition at right tackle. If you're not going to trade up to get a bona fide starter, then picking a tackle prospect like Amagaji with a bunch of tools who can at least push McKivitz at the starting right tackle spot along with Brandon Parker, and you actually have a legitimate battle for that starting job, I think that's ultimately beneficial. Even if it's not a first round talent, even if it is a player that you think can develop eventually, maybe as a swing tackle in year one. Like I said, starting lineup stuff on the line, starting five is definitely something the 49ers should and probably will address. But depth is also an issue, and I think Amagaji would be a, like I said, at worst, swing tackle in year one. And if you came from the future and said, yeah, the 49ers drafted this guy and he was the starting right tackle for a decade, that wouldn't shock me either. And then if you told me, hey, yeah, and then he eventually flipped to the left side and he took over for Trent Williams, like that, that might surprise me a little bit, but I think he would be a really nice find in the second round where you feel good that, hey, maybe he can start, but at worst, you've got a young quality reserve at offensive tackle that I don't think they currently have. All due respect to Jalen Moore, I'm not sure that it's in the cards for Jalen Moore to develop into a starting caliber tackle, and I think that is the case for Amagaji. So that's the second round pick, and that's something I could definitely see the Niners doing. Whether it is a defensive end or defensive tackle in the first round, or I don't think they go cornerback, but if they do wind up trading Ayuk, maybe they go with a wide receiver in the first round as well as something else, because I think in that case they'd probably have two first round picks. But if you're not taking a tackle in round one, I think you have to do it early on day two. It has to happen. They need to get more bodies at that position, or at least another body at that position with premium draft capital. This is a 63rd overall pick. Not out of the question that you could find a starter there. So I like that idea for the 49ers, where they're going best player available. It happens to be a center in round one. And then you're addressing that glaring offensive tackle need in year two. I definitely don't hate it. Round three, we're going to pander a little bit. All right. What do you want from me, bros? And we're all bros. It is what it is. I call my wife bro sometimes. It's kind of, I don't get embarrassed because it's just kind of, that's how our relationship goes. But it's definitely like, I need to do better. Hey, bro, did you see this? Like, come on, man. Babe, it's that easy. But just sometimes I get wrapped up. Like, oh my God, bro. It's my wife. Anyways, Brendan Rice from USC, Jerry Rice's kid. That's right. Round three, pick 94. This is another case of, I think by the end of round three, you're just looking at best player available. And I think this would be a really good situation for Rice. He's not a super refined route runner yet, but he has enough physical tools to definitely be intriguing. He's not a burner. I think he's got like a 4.5 40, but he has enough long speed to be like a downfield threat where he can stretch the field vertically a little bit. Like I said, he's not going to be Marquise Goodwin in terms of straight line speed, but he has functional straight line speed. And what he does at the catch point and how physical he is, I'm not going to say he's like Juwan Jennings, because Juwan Jennings in college was just nuts. Every catch was a boxing match. But he is very good at his ball skills are great. He's really good at playing through contact. I think that'll bode well on third downs and in the red zone early in his career. And then he may not play a ton in year one, which again, I know... Under the 49ers and drafting offensive players late in the third round, the track record there isn't great with Trey Sermon and Ty Davis Price and Danny Gray. But I think this is a scenario where Rice could conceivably contribute as a rookie. But I think down the line, when you're looking in a post Debo Samuel world for the 49ers, which over the next four seasons is definitely a possibility. I think there's a real chance that Rice, after a couple years in this offense, could turn into a really, really effective number two receiver alongside Brandon Ayuk, who, again, I think is going to be with the 49ers for a long time. And I don't even, maybe it's because it's Jerry Rice's kid. I don't think that, I'm trying not to have that bias. But when he's there at the 94th pick and you kind of look at the 49ers team needs and just kind of his skill set and what he is as a player, could they go cornerback here? Totally. Could they go defensive end here? Like, yeah, they could, they could conceivably do that. But this to me was a best player available thing on top of the Rice name is secondary for me, but I do think it'd be cool. And I do think it's something the team would latch on to if they had Brendan Rice in their building. But again, this is not, hey, he's not a good player, but how cool would it be for Brendan Rice to be on the team? Jerry Rice's kid in red and gold. Yeah. I guess that's the thing people would talk about, but I genuinely think he is a good player who at worst could be an effective third receiver with the upside to be a real legitimate number two target down the road in the post Debo Samuel version of the 49ers. So that's who I took late in the third round. In the fourth round, the first of three fourth round picks for the 49ers, 124th overall, took Leonard Taylor III from Miami. And I'm going to shorten these up a little bit in the later rounds, because when you get to this point, like, mock drafts are hard in the first round to try and get right. And eventually you start running into, I mean, there have been times where I've seen players mock to the 49ers in like round six, and then they go in the third round. So we're going to kind of try and shorten these up a little bit, because it's not like Jackson Powers Johnson being there at 31 is a definite, like, hey, real life possibility. Leonard Taylor III, Miami defensive tackle, couldn't tell you if it's a real possibility that'll be there in the fourth round or not. So we'll just kind of rip through these. Leonard Taylor III from Miami. He's a defensive tackle. Good size, 6'3", 303. Not a ton of production. Is 6 sacks, 22 tackles for loss in 28 games. But go watch him a little bit, and there's enough athleticism there. He's not super consistent, but there are enough flashes to definitely be intrigued. And again, let's talk fit for the 49ers. Let's take the specific player out of it for a minute. I think if you add a defensive tackle who could maybe be a rotational player in year one, I think that's kind of what Taylor could be. And you can harness some of those athletic flashes and turn them into more regular occurrences. I don't think he'd ever be a, you know, bona fide, like, legit NFL starter, but on an interior defensive line that needs an injection of youth and some depth, I think Taylor could be a really nice project who could pop maybe a little bit in year one, but definitely has some tools to be better down the line. And I think late in the fourth round is a good time to go do that. Next pick in the fourth round, second of three picks in the fourth. The 49ers have picked, I believe it's, nope, three players in the fourth round under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. I think that's right. It's Spencer Burford, Mitch Wishnowsky, and Joe Williams. I think that's it. That's tough. And if it's not it, is Kentavious Street a fourth rounder? Kentavious Street might have been a fourth rounder. Anyways, doesn't matter. The fact they have three fourth round picks in this year's draft is kind of funny, and I think they might wind up packaging some of them to move up at some point. But that's neither here nor there. Hey, it's Kyle and Chris from Candlestick Chronicles, and we're here to talk to you about Prize Picks. We love Prize Picks. I don't think, Chris, I don't think anything has ever enhanced my sports watching experience more than Daily Fantasy. I've had such a blast with it.
Even more so than having a podcast.
Yeah, way more than having a podcast. Like, okay. This is work. Prize Picks is the very best thing, and I know we talked about it all during football season, but y'all, it's not just a football. It's not just football. It's not just a football app. It's not just a football site. Prize Picks has I mean, anything that you can think of, you can build a daily fantasy sports entry in it. 2 to 6 players, regardless of the sport, you pick more or less on their stat projections, and then you watch the winnings roll in. Or in our case, you watch the losses pile up. But we're ready to bounce back this basketball season and baseball season or tennis or whatever you are into. You can build your entry again, 2 to 6 players, pick more or less on the stat projection, and it's my favorite thing. I had so much fun this year.
You don't have to be on an email chain with all of your friends.
It's a great point.
Hoping that they're going to be ready for the draft. You don't have to be scouring the waiver wire.
Nope.
When your best running back and receiver gets injured on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You don't have to argue with your friends about doing a snake draft or an auction draft.
You're just giving me anxiety thinking about all these things.
It's a week. It's, you know, you can be on there. You can make your picks and you can get out. You know, you don't need to do hours and hours of research. Not that you can't. If you want to do all your research, totally. More power to you. But all of the dregs that come along with being in a normal fantasy operation, you don't have to worry about with Prize Picks. And that's what makes it fun.
And the thing that I love about Prize Picks specifically with daily fantasy is you're not playing against like sharp guys. You're not playing against thousands of other players. It is you and your entry. And that's it. And it's super easy to use. You go to prizepicks.com/candlestick. Use promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's right. We're giving that to you. prizepicks.com/candlestick. First deposit promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Jump in there today. You're going to have a great time. And like I said, it's not just for football season. So get locked in. Whatever sport you want, PrizePicks has got it at prizepicks.com/candlestick. And make sure to download the app as well. Super easy to use, super fun, and we think that you will love it just as much as we do. Again, that's prizepicks.com/candlestick. Promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like myself, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. I promise, the 49ers, who all underwent off-season surgery, Dre Greenlaw, Treverius Ward, George Kittle, I promise they know all of those things. And that's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of Candlestick Chronicles. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Man, that sounds awesome. Whether you're here in the Bay Area or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/candlestick to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/candlestick. No materials or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. Round 4, pick 132. I talked about this guy with Chris on our NFL Draft Takes pod, but I'm going to talk about him again here. Tyrone Tracy, running back out of Purdue. I know 4th round pick on a running back, everybody freak out. I know they signed Patrick Taylor from Green Bay. Special teams guy, mostly, maybe some third down work. But y'all, Tyrone Tracy is a real delight. And again, maybe the 49ers decide they don't want or need a running back in the draft. That wouldn't shock me at all. They have Christian McCaffrey. They have Elijah Mitchell. They have Jordan Mason. They have now Patrick Taylor. And it's fine. Anyways. If they decide not to to draft a running back, it wouldn't surprise me. If they wanted to package some of these picks and move up and they wanted to punt the running back stuff into next year, that wouldn't shock me at all. But it also wouldn't shock me if Kyle Shanahan watched and fell in love with Tyrone Tracy. Spent 4 years as a wide receiver at Iowa, transferred to Purdue, played running back there for 2 years. 871 yards. Nope, excuse me. That was his receiving stats at Iowa. 66 catches, 871 yards, 5 touchdowns in 36 games. In 2 seasons at Purdue, 854 yards and 8 touchdowns on 130 carries. He also caught 47 balls for 330 yards. And when you watch him, here's the thing that is impressive about me, about Tracy to me. He doesn't look like a running back or a wide receiver who's now playing running back. He moves like a running back. If you remember Jalen Hurd, as talented as he was, when you watched him play receiver, it looked like a running back playing wide receiver, which is kind of what it was. He was still developing. If you remember, he was a running back in Tennessee, transferred to Baylor to play receiver, to extend his career. And he was built like a receiver. He looked like a receiver. Well, he was built like a G.I. Joe. that was crazy. But he definitely looked like he was still pretty raw as a receiver. I don't see that as much with Tracy. Again, I'm not a trained NFL scout, but just watching him a little bit, he's super decisive. He has this like really natural glide and cut to the way he runs. He's super balanced. He can return kicks. I think when you talk positionless football with Kyle Shanahan, if you're going to add a running back to be on the team for the next 3 or 4 years, I think Tracy, more than Taylor, more than Mitchell, more than Mason, could not do what Christian McCaffrey does, but replicate the things he does offensively in terms of where he lines up, the threat he poses in various areas of the field. Again, maybe this is a year too soon for a running back, but I don't know how many running backs have the skill set that Tracy has as a wide receiver for 4 years at a Division I program and then turning into a productive running back for 2 years at a Division I program. I love the idea. Even in the fourth round, I know people might say offensive line, defensive line help, all this stuff. Defensive end class is not very good, by the way. That's why you'll notice a distinct absence of that, despite the fact that it's an area I think the 49ers need to upgrade at pretty significantly. If you told me they traded up in the first round for defensive end, I wouldn't be shocked, but different conversation. Round 4, pick 135, Kamal Hayden from Tennessee. He is a cornerback, 6'1", 196, 31-inch arms. He ran a 4.53 40 at Tennessee's Pro Day. That's not a great number, but he's really good at using his length and physicality to make up for his lack of kind of top-end speed. Would he start right away for the 49ers? I don't know, but I think he has I think he can play special teams, but B, I think he has the tools to compete for the starting job with Ambry Thomas, with Darrell Luter, with Samuel Womack, I guess you can throw Chase Lucas into that mix. There, I really think that Hayden could step in and be a good player or a contributor for them on special teams at least right away. I wouldn't be stunned if he also came in and competed for a starting job opposite Tre'Davious Ward, because the 49ers don't have that nailed down yet. And I think they could definitely do to add or afford to add another cornerback in this year's draft. And I think late in the fourth round's the time to do it. They don't typically invest early draft picks in that position. You go late round 4. If it turns out that Hayden is not a terrific player, then you it's no real sweat. But again, 6'1", 196, physical corner. I think it would fit in pretty quickly with what the 49ers want to do. All right, here's my favorite pick. I have been obsessed with this player since the first time I watched him. Jaheim Bell, Florida State. He goes round 5. It's the 176th overall pick. Just look, 95 catches, 1,260 yards, and 9 touchdowns in the air. 84 carries, 303 yards, and 4 touchdowns on the ground. He can block. He's a willing blocker anyways. He's only 6'2", 241. This is the rub with Bell. He is not a big tight end. In fact, he is dramatically undersized at 6'2", 241. I believe, there's offensive weapon potential. Big OW potential with Jaheim Bell. But go. If you're driving, keep a note of this and do this when you're not driving. If you're listening and able to pop onto YouTube real quick, just go type in Jaheim Bell and just watch him and tell me he doesn't move like Deebo Samuel. Look, I'm not saying he's Deebo. To do that is I don't think there will ever be another player quite like Deebo Samuel. But just watch him move, the way he moves, and the way he breaks tackles, and the areas of the field he lines up in, and the way that Florida State just gets him the ball and lets him make plays. It feels very, very Deebo-ish. And I think having a player like that in the building would be really helpful. B, at his size, I think you could legitimately, if you think he can block, I think you could legitimately groom him as a potential replacement for Kyle Juszczyk, where he is, kind of H-back, inline tight end sometimes, split out in the slot sometimes, split out wide sometimes, just a player defenses have to account for. And if you can tap into that while also having a sprinkle of playmaking ability after the catch, that Deebo Samuel-esque tackle breaking, get him the ball in space, let him go, let him be an athlete, I think that makes that position even more dangerous. Now, is he, Kyle Juszczyk's brilliant. I don't think that you could effectively be Kyle Juszczyk. But can the 49ers alter their offense enough where they can maximize what Bell is doing without needing to make him a specific, like, yeah, hey, you're going to block this defensive end on this run play, because I'm not totally sure that would go well for them. So that's who I went with in the latter stages of round five, mostly because I would just really like to see Jaheim Bell in a Kyle Shanahan offense. It's selfish, I know, but what do you want from me? All right, moving on. Another offensive tackle with the 211th overall pick. I said Jaheim Bell was my favorite pick in the draft. Caden Wallace from Penn State might actually be my favorite pick. Bell is like a just personal favorite player of mine. But Wallace is the kind of player that if the 49ers find him in round six, I can't imagine. See, and this is where it's tough. I don't think Wallace goes in round six. I think he goes a lot earlier. You're talking about a starting right tackle at Penn State, 6'5", 314, 34-inch arms, got all the measurables. He's not a super freak athlete. He's not getting out in space and you know, running in the third level with wide receivers. He's not doing anything crazy like that. But man, he's just a really rock solid player. You go look at metrics, you go watch him, there's not a ton wrong outside of the fact that his movement skills don't, you know, jump off the page like they do with you know, Tyler Guyton or J.C. Latham or Amarius Mims or something, the first round guys. It wouldn't shock me if Wallace winds up going early day three and just starts for a team right away. And again, if you're the 49ers, where, okay, you didn't invest a first round pick in offensive tackle, but you got one in the second round, and now you're here in the sixth round, and you have just Penn State's starting tackle. He started 40 games. He played 47 games in college. He started 40 of them. And he was good. He's a solid player. And given the need for competition at right tackle, and again, this is a late sixth round pick, if Wallace is available, you go take him. A, it's adding competition to this competition that you've already fostered at right tackle. And B, you know that he can play the position. And there would be, I think, a ton of upside there for him as either a starter or a really good reserve in year one. And just, again, adding good players at a position Wallace may not be a good NFL player. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But adding good prospects at a position where they just need bodies, man. They need players who may or may not be able to play. Whether Wallace or Amagaji can play, couldn't tell you. Have no idea. But what I can tell you is that they're both good NFL draft prospects who could absolutely step in and win a starting job on day one. Like, they have the tools and the skill sets to do that. Again, does their game translate? Don't know. Maybe they get to the NFL and they just can't hack it. That happens a lot. But I like the idea of just throwing as many darts as you can to try and shore up a right tackle position and by extension, potentially a right guard position with all the different, bodies and different combinations of players you could throw out there, especially if you can move McKivitz inside to right guard and see how he does there. adding more potential solutions to a problem never hurts. So I love Caden Wallace. I think he's a really, really quality player. And if you can get him in the end of round six, it might solve your tackle issue. Might just back into it. So that's why I'm a big fan of the Caden Wallace pick. This is, again, so I talked about the Brendan Rice thing as pandering. The 215th pick is full pander. I'm sorry. This is bad. It was, I was trying to do the exercise right, and I got weak. So with the 215th pick, I took Frank Gore Jr. from Southern Mississippi. I'm sorry. So here's the way I'm looking at this. If they don't want to take a running back in round four, if they don't like Tyrone Tracy, or maybe he's gone earlier, or maybe they decide, you know what, we don't want a running back. Frank Gore Jr. is a really, really good player. And again, it helps that his name is Frank Gore Jr. for sure. But definitely undersized. I think he's listed at 5'8". He had 759 carries in college for 4,022 yards and 26 touchdowns. Also had 75 catches for 692 yards and 4 touchdowns. He runs like Frank Gore. He's super patient, super well balanced, keeps his pad level low, really hard to tackle. Is he a burner in the open field? Not necessarily, but he's a reliable blocker. He is a reliable, I think, third down option, especially catching passes out of the backfield. Can you line him up out in the slot and have him, you know, route up a safety or linebacker? I don't think so. But again, if the Niners don't take a running back earlier than the sixth round and they wanted to take one, I legitimately think Gore could be an option. It's not just because his dad works for the team and is a 49ers legend. I really do think that he fits what Kyle Shanahan would want in a running back, in terms of he's going to find the right hole and he's going to hit it and he's going to run hard and he's going to run with good pad level. And okay, maybe he's not getting you a 60-yard touchdown, but he's going to get you 4 or 5 yards every carry. He's going to be in the right spots. And that matters. Like, being in the right spot matters a lot. I think it's a big reason Trey Sermon struggled to get on the field. I think it's a big reason Ty Davis Price struggled to get on the field. I think it's a big reason guys like Danny Gray struggled to get on the field. Can you line up in the right spot, and can you do the right thing when the play is called? And I think Frank Gore Jr. is definitely capable of that. And again, if the Niners draft a running back in the fourth round, I don't think you need to draft another. Those are two running back options for the Niners. I don't actually believe that they would draft two of them. All right, final pick. Round 7, pick 251. I went with a quarterback. I went with Carter Bradley out of South Alabama. Gus Bradley's kid. He's size-wise, he's fine. Nothing to, you know, super write home about. I think like 6'3". Good arm, threw for nearly 6,000 yards, completed 66% of his throws with 47 touchdowns and 19 interceptions in a couple seasons at South Alabama. Is he the next Brock Purdy? Doubtful, super doubtful. But I do think there's value in drafting a quarterback this year who, because remember, the Niners drafted Brock Purdy. To the plan when they drafted Purdy in 22 was Trey Lance starter, Nate Sudfeld backup, Brock Purdy practice squad. Well, then Jimmy Garoppolo comes back. And now it's, okay, Trey Lance 1, Jimmy Garoppolo 2, Nate Sudfeld 3, and Brock Purdy practice squad. Well, then Brock Purdy went out and beat out Nate Sudfeld for a roster spot. The Niners didn't think that he would make it through to their practice squad, so they put him on the roster. I don't think Bradley would necessarily do that, but I will say there's value in having him on the practice squad and just developing a player in-house, developing a quarterback in-house who, if and when Brock Purdy gets really expensive, yeah, hey, you have this cost-controlled backup you have for $1 million just already, who knows the team, who knows Purdy, and who's been around your program. I think that's valuable, and I think that's why you should draft a quarterback this year, even though you already have Brandon Allen, a trusted third quarterback, second or third quarterback, and Josh Dobbs, who is a good veteran who's been around the league and has won games in the NFL. I think adding a rookie to that mix is not necessarily the end of the world. And if you told me, yeah, hey, Carter Bradley, Nate Sudfelded Brandon Allen and just beat him out for a roster spot, Wouldn't be shocked. Wouldn't be totally shocked by it. Again, not that there's something you see when you watch Carter Bradley that makes you think like, oh, wow, this guy could really, this guy might. But I personally didn't think that with Brock Purdy either. And again, not saying he's the next Purdy, but because of what happened with Brock, I just got to kind of leave all the doors open. So I think Bradley is a perfectly fine kind of run-of-the-mill quarterback prospect who has all the necessary kind of physical traits to be a good backup, maybe win a game or two as a starter. And I think you can start developing him on the practice squad if he doesn't, you know, play really well and step in to grab a roster spot in year one. So that's it. That's the mock. I want to do another one of these once Chris is back. And I have a couple other, I've written down some draft takes that I want to run by Chris. We'll do another draft take show before things start. And the another thing we're planning on doing is getting a draft expert in here to do some fun little draft preview for you guys. So here's how this is going to go, I believe. I am out of town next week. I'm actually, a little secret, I'm actually like leaving the country for the first time. Very exciting stuff for me. And Chris will also have some work responsibilities, and then he also has a little trip coming up. So, I don't know the exact dates of his trip, but I know I will not be working while I'm away. I typically, take recording stuff with me when I go on vacation, and this time I am not doing that. I'm taking a computer, but my goal is to not turn it on the entire time I'm there. I'm setting an away message at work. I've never done that before. I've never set an I'm on vacation automatic reply email. I've just answered emails on vacation. Stupid. It's dumb. I'm not like, yeah, I'm grinding. I'm just dumb. it's a dumb thing to do. Just send an away message, man. You get vacation, you get PTO, use it. All right, so that's what I'm going to do. So I don't think there will be any shows next week. If there are, surprise. But I don't think there's any going to be any shows next week, but then we will be back in the saddle to get you all prepped for the draft, which is coming. God, we are 3 weeks away from the draft as I record this. Oh, my God. The NFL offseason happens so fast. So 3 weeks away from the draft. No shows next week, but coming up after that, we will have a ton of draft preview stuff. Super excited. Really love going through all this stuff and appreciate you guys listening. And make sure to subscribe on YouTube. We'll start going live more often now that we've got real stuff going on. Subscribe at youtube.com/@CandlestickChronicles or Candlestick Chronicles podcast at Candlestick Chronicles podcast. Or you just go to YouTube and just search Candlestick Chronicles. We're like the first thing that comes up. Please subscribe to the channel. Hit the little notification bell so you get notified whenever we go live. That way you can tap in with us there. If you are an audio listener, dope. Appreciate that. Go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Send it to a friend. If you have a friend who's looking for some 49ers listening, have them tap in. That'd be awesome. And yeah, I think that's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Shout out to Chris. And shout out to our editor, Tyler, as well. I'm just going to call Tyler our boss. He's straight up it. Like, that's what it is. I said our editor. He just edits a podcast. He's not our editor. He is our boss. And he is nice enough to edit the podcast for us. So shout out to Tyler. Appreciate you, bro. Have a good night, everybody. And we will talk to you in a couple weeks. Bye.